Welcome, 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 one and all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the one, the only, the unique, the indispensable, A Quick One with Ed Parnell. And now, your host, Ed Parnell! Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Well, it's been a busy week in Hollywood this week, and I...
Hello. I thought I'd start off the inaugural podcast with a little bit of an introduction there. And I think we had a little bit of an introduction. That's quite enough of that. I'm going to waffle on about things that you may be interested, you may not be interested in, but I'll waffle on for a little while about it and see if you can leave the podcast a little bit better informed than you came in. Either that or your ears will be bleeding. And we start off with the legendary Suella Braverman and her barge of paradise. As regular viewers to the real world will know, Suella Braverman. Oh, God, what's wrong with me? Suella Braverman has waged a one-woman war on decency, moral rectitude and basic common humanity to manage to get most asylum seekers and people seeking refuge in the UK and cram them into a big bin. Now, she's been unable to do this because she was unable to find a bin small enough, and the idea of miniaturising them all via dehydration process in the same way as freeze-dried coffee was strangely not received well by the courts. So they've been putting them up in hotels, and they've been giving them, I think it's about £8-9 a week or something like that, and saying, you will like this. Not a lot, but you'll like it. And we've got a lot of people, and they see them on Facebook groups and whatever. And they say, well, that's disgusting. I don't want them in my area. This disgusting. Even though they're not going to leave the hotels. I mean, they might leave the hotels for recreational purposes, but they'll be under strict supervision, we are told. Though I wouldn't put too much money on that. And these people just want a place of sanctity. They want a place of safety. They've come from war zones, a lot of them. They've crossed an immense distance to get as far away from whatever trials and tribulations they've been facing in their native land, usually caused by our intervention, I have to say. And they managed to get to the UK, and their reward of getting to the UK is these dingy, horrible hotel rooms. Some people say they're four-star, and they're not four-star, because a four-star hotel bases itself on facilities, the staff, the cleanliness, and the food. They've sacked all the staff. They've sacked all the cleaners. They have a cleaning company that comes in, which is part of the contract that the holding company has, who running the hotel scheme. They have very basic food, and they give them £9 a week. Now, that isn't a four-star hotel. I hate to break it to you, it's not a four-star hotel, it's a hostel. And anyone who's stayed in a hostel will know what they're like. They are not four-star. In fact, you couldn't get far removed from four stars. It's like four black holes. It's horrible. And you get these people go, oh, you're bloody, they get to use the gym and there's a spa there and whatever. Yes, those places have actually been repurposed. That's why the ballroom in some hotels, where they have a ballroom, and the downstairs restaurant, all the furniture's been stripped out and they put beds in there. You've got 47 people sleeping in one room, all strangers, kids, women, men. They're all crammed into these little things. So Suella Braverman says, I've got an idea. Why don't we cream off even more money to some private company and put them on a barge?
That'd be good, a barge. Barge would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah, let's put them on a barge, yeah. Oh, a barge.
So she got these three barges, and being the arrogant piece of work that they are, the Conservatives, they assume that if they say, these barges will land there and there'll be an end to it. Well, two of the barges didn't land anywhere because, being the Conservatives, they forgot to dock, actually give them anywhere to dock. And they didn't have permission to dock. And the local authorities said,
you can't park there, mate.
And that was the end of that. So the only one that's docked is the one in just in Dorset. And people went on board. Usual checks. People went on board on the Wednesday, and they went on board on the Thursday. And then somebody discovered that this barge had Legionella. In fact, they discovered it on the Monday, and they were told on the Monday. Home Office officials were told on the Monday. And in all likelihood, given the track record, somebody in the Home Office, fairly high up, whose name rhymes with Fluella Gaverman, probably said, "I'll stuff them, nobody will find out. And if they die, so what?" But people did find out. And it became national news that these people had been locked into a barge by guards into what was basically a plague ship. So they were taken off. We were waiting to see whether any of them have contracted anything. One of them had a case of tuberculosis. So Legionella bacteria. That's going to be quite serious for that gentleman. But they've all gone off to have tests, and obviously the right wing will say, well, they're putting a strain on the health service now, what with their insisting on surviving what we planned for them. And it's disgusting. It's almost as bad as Robert Jenrick going to that children's centre and saying, well, we can't have those mules on the wall, they're far too cheerful and welcoming, let's take them down because it's just encouraging them. These are children, mate. These are children. They're not going to, you know, cause havoc in the town centre. They're most likely just sit in the room and play with the bricks or whatever. But these are children, God's sake. Where's your humanity? Where's the common decency? Where's the compassion? Conservative government.
We have a proud history of accepting people into our country who are in need.
Do you bollocks? You drag your feet in every single way when people need help, unless that person happens to own a bloody big corporation, in which case you're falling over yourselves. You're on your knees saying, take it, please take it, whatever it is. So they did this thing with the barge. They were told about it. They didn't give a flying fig about what would happen to these people. And that was that. And we're still waiting to find out, as I say, whether any of these people actually have contracted or developed the illness, which is potentially fatal in weakened immune systems because it attacks the respiratory system, I'm given to understand. And it's in the droplets. So not only them, but also anyone else who was on the barge for a prolonged period of time may be at risk of spreading this disease. And she should be sacked. Again. I mean, it's astonishing the amount of things that people are getting away with in this place. She went to Rwanda and looked at what were essentially brick-built caves and said, oh, I like the interior design. I might get the interior design for this myself. Ha, 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 ha. And she's pictured outside laughing about sending people who've been halfway around the world to what they perceive to be a democratic, free, open society and a welcoming place of safety. And she's laughing about sending them to a despotic regime, which will probably shoot them if they complain about the food. And she's laughing about it. And there's a good percentage of people in this country, unfortunately, who will be laughing along with her. And they are a disgrace to Britain. And they're, frankly, a disgrace to the human race. And it doesn't matter how often you talk to these people and how often you try and convince these people of actual basic facts. What happens is, well, I understand that, but, you know, you can have an argument with these people. Let's just say the argument is, well, yes, but, you know, we really feel in this country that it's not right to break off people's kneecaps and wave them in front of their faces. Oh, well, I agree absolutely with that. But, and it's always but at the end, isn't it? Or, I'm not a racist, me, but I've got black friends, you know, but, you know, I don't, you know, oh, yeah, and not that, oh. And that actually made more sense than the next thing that came out of their mouth after the word but. Because these people don't seem to have any facts. I had a discussion once with somebody about ID cards in a pub. woman I never met before was talking to somebody, and she was saying, oh, these ID cards, they'll solve everything. And I just said, well, what will they actually solve?
She said, oh, they'll solve terror.
How will they solve terror?
Well, they'll stop terror, won't they?
How will they stop terror?
Well, they'll stop terror.
OK, so what you're telling me is somebody leaves the house with a bomb in their pocket, gets halfway down towards their destination, thinks, oh, I've forgotten my ID card. Turns around and goes home, terror incident aborted.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Once you point out the fallacy of these people's arguments, it just falls apart. Like cheap suit. Or my T-shirt. Which is frankly so full of holes now, even the moths are complaining. So that was the thing with Suella about Braverman. And she's really kind of like, I don't know, what's she got to do to get actually sacked from the Home Office as Home Secretary? Has she got to sort of go up and, I don't know, I actually can't think of anything worse than she's actually done. Apart from maybe inviting them all to try putting the asylum process on the same scale as,
are you any value to this country? Can you do the same tricks as Houdini? Here, step into this water-filled tank. If you can get out, you get a lifetime visa.
That's the only thing I can think of that's worse than what she's actually doing. And this image that we've got around the world now is just getting worse. We used to have an image. We used to have something in this country, you know. People used to look at Britain and say, oh, yeah. And it was an illusion. Because primarily there were a lot of stupid racist people in this country. But there were many more decent, kind, welcoming people. And that image is gone. People like Jacob Rees-Mogg. Can you imagine anyone in their right mind interviewing Jacob Rees-Mogg and giving him a job? But the electorate in Cornwall seemed to think he was OK. They seem to think Jacob Rees-Mogg is quite a decent sort of fellow and just the sort of chap we need to drag us right up to date in the 1850s. Nadine Dorris, there's another one. Completely incapable of doing her job, and fortunately she's not been doing it for the last 3 months now. Not that she's spoken in Parliament since 2021. And you get to these points of these people and you just think, what is going on? Boris Johnson, there's another example. Absolutely horrendous piece of work. Anything that comes out of his mouth you can probably put next to your rhubarb and get a bumper crop because he's so full of it. But look at him now. What's his reward? What's his punishment, rather, for misleading the country, partying while other people died, and the 120,000 extra deaths that we had in the pandemic? Oh, he's picking up £85,000 plus travel expenses for travelling round the world and giving speeches. What a punishment. Nobody investigates anything like that, just like they didn't investigate the ABBA party because of who was there. I can't tell you who was there, but a quick Google search will give you some idea of the magnitude of that investigation if word ever got out. And people say, let it go. But these are the people who didn't lose relatives. These are the people who didn't watch their parents die on iPads, if they were lucky. These are the people who weren't peering through windows a tearful elderly people who didn't know what was going on. None of those people experienced loss. If you experienced loss, you would not be saying, oh, good old Boris, no, yeah, it wasn't all his fault, no. He accepted the money, therefore he accepted the responsibility. We've got to a stage in this country, and it's been the same with CEOs for some years, that if you accept the money, you only get the praise. You only get the praise. Only in exceptional circumstances will you be held to any sort of account. And when you are held to account, you can resign and get your golden handshake. How's that? That sound good? That sounds great to me. What a country we live in. And the MPs are now trying to get a lump sum payment when the next election is called. If they lose their seat, they get something like 60 grand or something like that. Because They don't get paid enough on the £87,000 plus £250,000 expenses. They simply don't get enough. What's going on? And when they resign, they get £19,000, relocation and inconvenience expenses in a lump sum. What's going on? Now let's move on to our friend and yours, better known to us all as Rishi. Where do I start? A couple of years ago, Rishi Sunak went over to California. And he went over to California during a particularly turbulent time in Boris Johnson's premiership. And he went over there thinking that nobody would notice that he disappeared for a couple of weeks. Of course, people noticed he disappeared for a couple of weeks. Because even Boris Johnson can't magic somebody out of thin air. He can't put a mannequin on the seats in the House of Parliament and say, what are you talking about? Rishi's there. Look at him. Look. Yeah, see, that's him. So Rishi Sunak goes over to California. By coincidence, some of the chief heads and negotiating people from private healthcare companies in the United States also happen to be in California, and they meet up in the same place. Anyway, they're having a little discussion, a tete-a-tete, and nothing's ever made of it, nothing ever comes public, because nothing like that ever does. Because Rishi is called back in an emergency. He must come and save his country from whatever chaos Boris Defeffel Johnson has caused, which he simply fails to do. But he comes back anyway, and Boris Johnson leaves, and then we had Liz Truss. Liz Truss, who is the most awful Prime Minister we probably ever had, by a country mile, if you don't include Boris Johnson. And even if you do include Boris Johnson, she's somewhat way ahead of him. I mean, to cram that much awfulness into such a short space of time is something of a miracle. It's like the TARDIS of awfulness. It just kept on coming. For 60 days, she was in office. No, hang on, was it 42 or 60? I can't remember. Whichever one is shorter, that was it. And in that time, she managed to crash the stock market, devalue the pound, and absolutely break the country. There were people who were losing their homes, people who were losing their businesses, stocks went through the floor, billions wiped off pensions, stocks and investments, and companies were leaving the UK. The stock of the gilt went down, and the country almost ground to an absolute halt. Well done. She did, in whatever time, short time she was Premier, she did more damage than the Conservatives that actually managed to do making an effort in 13 years. So that's pretty impressive. But she now is off making speeches, going around the United States, talking to Republican people and think tanks about economic policy. What right has she got to talk about economic policy? There are photographs of her not even holding a phone the right way up. And I'm talking about a landline. Absolutely appalling person. And she gets £119,000 a year prime ministerial pension. £119,000 a year for 42 days work. I'm sorry, I have to lean back in my chair. That's the creaking noise. Or it might just be my brain trying to explode. There's people starving in this country due to her. She's off. And while she was Prime Minister, she was actually ordering £1,500 lunches from private members' clubs for Tory get-togethers. So that's quite nice. Going back to Rishi Sunak. Ooh, he went to California. Oh, Rishi took a well-earned break from putting his feet up in the UK so he could put his feet up in the United States. And he was seen going to the movies and going to Disneyland and really enjoying himself with his family. Oh, isn't it nice? He works so hard, old Rishi. You know, he went to a restaurant while he was over there. And this wasn't any ordinary restaurant. Because there's a big thing about rich people. It's like there's a hotel room in London. I can't remember where hotel. I think it's in Claridge's. I think it's the Platinum Suite. It's called something like the Platinum Suite. Some pretentious crap. And this place is £35,000 a night. And you don't book it so you can use it. You book it to say, I can book it. I have that power. I have that much money. Now, to me, the idea of spending £35,000 on a place where you're going to spend 80% of the time asleep, that's fucking nuts.
I'm sorry. You've been smoking too much of that stuff lately. Lay off it.
But he went to a restaurant. And it's one of these restaurants where all the posh people go in California. And a meal there is £12,500. A meal. One person. A meal. Now, for £12,500, what I would expect, really, realistically speaking, I would expect farro soup with Nefertiti gravy. That's what I'd like. And I'd like it served to me by 16 buxom wenches, right, in a uniform of my choice. And I'd also like ice cream made from diamonds. And what the hell is going on? £12,500 on a lunch. If you've got that much money to waste on a lunch, you've got that much money to donate to kids who are going hungry during the school holidays, Mr. Sunak. Really? I mean, what were you thinking? You think that's a good waste of the... Oh, it's good there. And then he's doing a speech yesterday. And he stands up in front of a bunch of people. And he's talking away. And he said, well, I've been in politics for 7 years. Clang! The reverberation of the bell went across the land and all were made aware of this terrible calumny and failure in maths. Because he was elected in 2015. This is 2023. That is 7 years. That's 7 years. Seven complete years. So he hasn't been involved. No, it's 8 years. Sorry. It's 8 years. I'm complaining about his maths, but I've just had a little bit of a brain freeze. Excuse me while I just hit myself over the head with a bottle. Oh! So he got elected in 2015. And it's 2023, so it's 8 years. So he's been in politics 8 years, so I don't know what he thought. I know, I'll get elected an MP. I wonder what they do. However, having said that, it's difficult to see what he does actually do. Because he ain't done anything for anybody in this country who doesn't own a bloody factory. All he's had a go at is protesters, disabled people, anyone over 50, anyone on a pension, students, asylum seekers, anyone of mixed race, transgender people, and the LGBT community. And that's it. That's the only people he's had a go at. Oh, and... because he's not fussy, old Rishi. He's not fussy at all. He'll point out the errors in society. Unfortunately, the finger should be pointing the other way. Should be pointing towards himself. Error in society. Because nobody voted for this man. Apart from some Conservative Party members. And they must be thinking, this is the best we can do. We had Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, and Rishi Sunak. And Rishi Sunak's the best one, and he's fucking terrible! I mean, I thought that old Boris was crap, but then he was superseded by Liz, I'm crapper than Boris, Truss, and now Rishi Sunak has managed to actually supersede the pair of them and become better than them. It's not a high bar. An ant could just about limbo under that bar. And it's patronising. And they assume that you're going to forget. And they assume that he's got... This is like this hiring Lee Anderson. Lee Anderson. I mean, this man... there's an old saying, if you can't say anything nice, be Lee Anderson. I mean, it's just also bewildering. And we used to have a reputation in this country. We used to, you know, I keep on going on about it, but it's true. People looked at us. I hate this thing where people say, oh, what we need is another Churchill. Yeah, OK, we need somebody with stature, gravitas, intelligence and some basic moral decency. That's what we need. Because at the moment, we've got none of that. We've got people who just stand up and issue platitudes and go, nah, 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 nah. And that's on both sides of the House. There are some very good people in Parliament, some really outstanding politicians, but they won't get anywhere because they've got moral fibre. And this country doesn't want moral fibre, it seems. It doesn't want decency or people to be treated with respect or some sort of affordation of their intellect. You know, the messaging has all got to be three-letter words. And we're in danger of losing our considered self-determination if we just go on this populist trail all the time. Because populist trails lead to fascism. It happens all the time. You've only got to look in the history books. Do some homework. Look in the history books. If you don't actually understand how populism leads to fascism, because these people go power crazy. I mean, look at what's happening in the United States. A man cannot accept the outcome of a election, so he decides to get what followers he has to storm the seat of government. Then he says it was nothing to do with me, then it was something to do with him, then it wasn't something to do with him, and then he tries to forge a load of votes for him, and yet people still say, well, he's the best man for the job. What company would you actually have to have where you had somebody who was, oh, your CEO walks into you, right? You're the head of HR, and your CEO walks into you and says, well, what we're looking for this position is somebody who grifts. They're constantly on the make. They lie all the time. They've got no respect for women, ethnic minorities, disabled people, veterans, or religious leaders. They've got no respect for any of that. They're always on the make. They're trying to line their own pockets, and we're looking for somebody really with the ability to put their hand in the till and destroy this business from within. Have you got any CVs?
Well, I've got the perfect bloke here, Donald Trump. It seems to be a sort of average sort of fella. Bring him in.
No CEO is going to look at that. There's a reason why Donald Trump was employed by his father, and that is the embarrassment that nobody else would touch this chocolate teapot. And I don't know where this country's going, and I don't know where America's going, and I don't know where we're going to end up. I hope things are going to get better. But until we get a system where politicians are actually held to account, personally held to account for the decisions that they make, then we're going to continue down this road. It's pointless somebody saying, well, this company's doing this and this company's doing that, and the politician just says, so? What do you want me to do about it? The law is there for a reason. People should use the law to get equilibrium, social equilibrium. You should be able to get justice. If people are pouring shit into your rivers and your seas and poisoning your local water supply, you should be able to take those people to court and actually stop them. But you can't, because the legislation isn't there, because it's a free market economy and the free market always wins. Well, I don't think there's any market in the world which wants shit in their water. And I'm pretty sure that's a universal suffrage throughout the universe. Suffrage? universal rule throughout the universe. Why should people have to suffer that sort of thing? And every day you get these stories, and every day you think, oh, it can't get any worse, it can't get any worse. For 13 years, I've woken up every morning thinking, oh, you know, I think we've got to the bottom of the barrel now. I think we've got to... We're on the other side of the bloody planet from the barrel now. We've run out of things to dig. We're frankly scrabbling at the air in New Zealand thinking, can we get any higher? Can we get any... We've gone through the Earth's core. And we're still going. And I just don't know what people are thinking, because I hear them every day. Well, you know, it'd be worse under Labour, wouldn't it? I mean, during the last election, there were people actually going around saying, well, I'm voting Conservative because, you know, the police station's all closed around here. And that was Labour. And you think, how have you reached this decision? What is wrong in your life that you've reached this decision? But they've reached that decision. And they've reached it almost without any sort of help at all, psychiatric or otherwise. And I really think that we need to get to a point, the party which says that there will be punitive and criminal proceedings against somebody who willfully misleads his country. Because I think that this whole thing goes back to Brexit. I think there is a big case for taking those people to court under the treason. In 2003, I think it was, somebody went onto the Usenet groups, which used to be on the internet, and they went into several of the financial groups on the Usenet, and they published, they wrote some stuff about a certain corporation. And this corporation lost millions because that rumour just propagated itself throughout the stock market. And they were arrested, and I think they did 5 years for economic terrorism. Now, that was only 30 million that company lost. We've lost somewhere in the region of 400 billion through lies, inaction, deception, half-truths. Somebody needs to be held to account for that. Somebody also needs to be held to account for the 220 million plus that other people have received for goods not received. In fact, the 14 billion that was shelled out during COVID, which is known to be fraudulent, and we all know where it went, and yet nothing is done about it. But you earn a fiver on universal credit more than, and they come after you because they want to know where that fiver came from. You know, I tried to open some premium bonds the other day, and it's not a difficult thing because I've had premium bonds before, but I wanted to build up a gift to somebody. And the amount of ID that you need. You need a driving licence, national insurance number, 3 previous addresses, a letter from your doctor and or MP, your passport. You need to attend a local surgery, get blood tests, have your eyes checked, turn to the left and cough twice. All these various things. I made a couple of up there, but, you know, up until the passport, more or less right. And I'm thinking, nobody had to do that for the money from the COVID. Nobody's going to put 220 million into premium bonds. Nobody, not in their right minds. They put it in a tax haven somewhere. No passport or driving license or anything needed for that. All you need is the account number and the sort code. That's it. So what is going on? Is it that easy to launder big sums of money, but if you've got 30p more than you should have, the Inland Revenue coming after you? We live in a country that's just living on its arse. I would say a good 75% of people in this country are not finding life very pleasant at all, and the other 25% are busy sat on behind their gated communities laughing their arses off about it. And we need to do something about it, and we need to do something quick, because if this is the way it's going to be, I don't see it ending well. I do not see it ending well. Oh, must tell you, Brendan Clark Smith. The MP who dare not speak his hyphen. He held a little GoFundMe for his re-election campaign, you see, because, I mean, you know, it's difficult raising £10,000 to stand for election when you're in the richest political party the West has ever seen. So he decides to get people to fund him.
All the good things he's done in the community. Brendan Clark Smith will be your MP for another 5 years, representing you, your views, and your rights.
Wanted £10,000.
That's a diddly squat sum, isn't it?
And in the couple of months that's been running, he's raised £520. Because that's how much these people are like, and most of those people just donated a quid just to tell them to get stuffed. Or words to that effect. Use your imagination, Luke. So that's it. We've done 34 minutes of non-stop jabber, and I really hope that you leave here a little bit better informed. I'll be more coordinated next time, and I'll have a better idea of what I'm doing, but I just wanted to get some of the stuff out of my system, because I really feel that this country is worth saving, but we've got to save it soon, because these people will take everything. They'll take your house, They take your money, they take your car, they take your prestige. I mean, you're hearing ads on the radio now. In 2009, we had those gold ads, and they went on for a couple of years. And then we had the ads for swapping your car for something more environmentally friendly, which is a fair enough concept. Had the criteria been a little bit better thought out and they'd not, got all the valuable cars. And now we've got advertisements saying, got any antiques around the place? Anything nice you want to get rid of? Those nice silver candlesticks, or perhaps that diamond ring you're wearing, not in use. Could be a shame if something happened to that. And why don't we give you some money for that then? Because what will happen is people end up with nothing. And if you've got nothing, you can't barter. And if you can't barter, you're stuck in the system. And I appreciate that a lot of people are going to say, well, why would I need to barter? Well, if we're going digital currency, there's a hell of a lot more people than you think are going to be left out of the system. And the only thing they're going to have to do is barter. And to barter, you need stuff. So gradually, they're stripping you of all you possess so that eventually you just go, well, I've got no choice. I can't fight this. You can fight it. You can vote against it. I don't care what you vote. You vote with your own conscience. But you've got to vote against this. Because this country is worth saving, but we have to save it now. We have to save it soon. It's like a patient on life support. If we don't give it the medication, pretty soon we're going to lose it completely. We've already lost the right to protest. We've lost the right to peaceful demonstration. I don't know how far down the road we want to go. They're talking about repealing the Human Rights Act, which they technically can't do, but they'll give it a bloody good try. So, that's it for this episode. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Next time I'll be a little bit more coordinated. If you've got any views or feedback or anything whatsoever to do with this, then feel free to drop it in the comments below or email me at aquickonewith@edparnell.co.uk. And we'll speak again excessively shortly, I do predict. Bye now.